welcome along to the Breeders' Cup Preview Show, brought to you by The Racing Post and Blood Horse. I'm your host, Maddie Playle, to take you through a plethora of stateside action. Alongside me is Callum Helliwell, and we're also joined by Blood Horse's Sean Collins, who is live from Del Mar to give us all the latest from the track itself. Stay tuned for the next 45 minutes or so as we run you through some of the greatest races in the world. First up, we're going to have a look at the juvenile races on the Friday. A quick spin through these. Some of Aidan O'Brien's been drawn out in the car park. Stad and Precise, two big chances. Will they be compromised by the draw? Let's have a quick chat about those. First off, though, at 9:45 UK time, we have the juvenile turf sprint. True Love is a big talking horse in here, Callum, along with Brussels. He's the mount of Christophe Soumillon. Wayne Lorden on True Love. Do you read much into that?
No, try not to read too much into jockey bookings here. I think there's plans in place, and Aidan is a far more intelligent man than me, so I wouldn't question anything that he does in regard to jockey bookings. True Love's a big girl. I think it's been discussed by a lot of people that maybe the tight turns around Del Mar, she might find it a little bit challenging. Personally for me, I think Havana Anna is more sort of set up to run a big race on this occasion, just because of the type of circuit that we're running on, and a horse who is shaped consistently like she can really enjoy this sort of sharp test of nature. The more galloping track she's actually struggled at, when we keep her in a tight, confined environment, I think Havana Anna has a lovely chance, and at a nice enough price as well to get involved with too.
Yeah, I like the sound of that very much. Sean, I think True Love's an exceptional athlete, but like Callum, I think she might be better a bit longer trip than this. Can she get it done? What do you think of this turf sprint?
Yeah, she definitely can get it done if she can take to the distance here and the turns. But we're going to have a tough group of Americans in this race as well, led by Schwarzenegger. This is a horse that I was hearing about how talented he was before he even made his debut. He was a little green in his debut, but then he came back still as a maiden and won a stakes race at Keeneland pretty impressively. He has yet to run the 5 furlong distance. He's been running 5.5 furlongs. They think the 5 furlongs is supposed to be his best distance, so we'll get to see that. And he also has yet to really get a track that he really prefers. He's going to prefer the fast ground that he's going to get out here at Del Mar for sure. So he's kind of the main American hope for us here, trained by Wesley Ward.
Okay, well, one of the main hopes for Aidan O'Brien is Precise, the Filly's Mile winner. She was spectacular last time at Newmarket. Drawn out in the car park, though. Do you think it'll make much difference, Cal?
Listen to me, people. Look into my eyes. The draw is not a problem for Precise or Gustard at all. Look at the racing from last year at Del Mar. We're so fortunate that we're going to get back-to-back Breeders' Cups at the same venue. High draws were to the fore last year on both the Friday and the Saturday on the turf course. It is not a concern that Precise is drawn in the car park. It is a concern. She might be facing some really dangerous horses, though, but I do think she has every chance. I'm fascinated by a couple of American runners in here, but I think Precise will maybe just be too much. But keep an eye on some of those American horses. They might be dangerous.
I mean, Lake Victoria, a hugely impressive winner of this race last year. When we see Aidan's Army descend on Del Mar, Sean, what's that like as a local being there? It must be quite something.
Oh, it's quite something. I just saw them this morning doing their little gallop around the racetrack in their straight line and everything. It's everybody here in the United States, when that happens, we all just stop and watch it because it's just something so foreign to us. So it's always great to see. And last year, Lake Victoria made an impact on me. I had a couple American fillies that I really liked going into the race last year, one of them being Mayday Ready, who ended up being second. And with her winning the race, now I feel a little cautious to go against Precise here, because I'm hearing some good things from you guys over there about how good Precise is going to be. So she's going to be tough, but we have some, you know, American talent that's kind of on the up and up. I like Imagination the Lady. She's came out of the win in the Jessamine Stakes at Keeneland. I actually just spoke to her trainer, Brendan Walsh, probably about a half hour ago, and he said that she's training lights out since being here at Del Mar. I think she's one of the leading contenders here of the American horses for sure.
Okay. Precise to beat. How do you think she matches up compared to Lake Victoria?
I don't think she's quite the same horse. I don't think she's quite the same as
Aidan O'Brien's giving it the big talk.
But Lake Victoria was so special, and I think they've had very different campaigns. Lake Victoria hit the ground running and has gone all the way through. Precise, beaten on debut, they've been a bit more touchy gently with her and just allowed her to come through. But I think that run at Newmarket last time was so visually impressive, and the way she did the job and the time was good as well. One of the quickest times we've ever seen, nearly a track record on that day as well. So I think she's doing everything right at the right time. I think Imagination the Lady is a danger as well, but I'm going to be sticking with Precise.
Okay, you are. Right, well, we've got a real top-notcher in the Juvenile. Ted Noffey is the big talking horse on the dirt, the Juvenile for the Americans. Tell us about him, Sean, and he's going to come up against another real star in Brandt.
Yeah, so Ted Noffey is coming off. He's won two grade ones so far this year, which it's fairly rare to see, you know, a horse at this stage in the U.S. already have two grade ones going into the Breeders' Cup. So that just really helps to tell you how good of a horse that he is. And his last race was his first one around two turns, stretching out to a mile and a 16th in the Breeders' Futurity. Sometimes you never know what you're going to get with that. And he did not look like he was the least bit fazed by it. So he definitely seems like he is the top horse in this field. He's one of those horses that when you ask the trainers of the other horses in the race, you know, who they think's the one to watch out for, he's always the one that they could keep mentioning. And so he's going to be tough in this field, but it is California. This is the home of Bob Baffert. He always comes loaded with horses. We saw that last year where Citizen Bull won the Juvenile, and then his other horses finished second and fourth in the race. And Brandt looks like the standout star for him as well. He's undefeated in two starts. Last out won the Del Mar Futurity at this track, so we know that he likes this racetrack here. My only concern with Brandt is he hasn't stretched out to the distance yet. And usually Bob seems to like to bring a horse like him back in the American Pharoah Stakes around two turns at Santa Anita, and he didn't for this one. So maybe that's just because he wanted to have the extra time going into the Juvenile or anything like that. But if he can stretch out and be as good as he was around one turn, now that he's going two turns, he's going to be tough. And these two really kind of look like the standouts in this field for sure.
They certainly do on the betting anyway. What sort of horses are they for the future? Kentucky Derby types or elsewhere?
Ted Noffey definitely would be a Kentucky Derby type for sure. We'll get that question answered with Brandt here, depending on how he runs this weekend. But being, by Gunrunner and out of a Liam's Map mare, I really don't see that being much of an issue for him as far as the distance goes. So if all goes well here, both of those two horses will definitely be on that path to the first Saturday in May at Churchill Downs. Another horse in here that I think could be on that path in the future as well, that's maybe your long shot play if both of these horses don't fire, would be Blackout Time, trained by Kenny McPeak. Kenny McPeak won the Derby two Derbies ago with Mystic Dan, who is going to be in the Dirt Mile this year, and he said Blackout Time at this point in his two-year-old career is already further ahead than where Mystic Dan was. So that's some good news to hear if you're those connections.
Wow, and he's still not in the top two of the betting. Callum, you spoke about Stad earlier, drawn out wide. He's been unlucky in Group 1s the last three occasions, just denied in second. Do you think he can finally get that Grade 1?
I think he might be a little bit unlucky today on this occasion. I think Outfielder is a monster. I think
he was ahead of him in the pre-morning, though.
But the pre-morning is running France. And I don't think I don't feel like Outfielder is going to be anywhere near at his sparkling best in France. You watched him in his two runs in America. He was spine-tinglingly good on debut. Missed Ascot due to a little foot injury. Probably a good thing for him. They sent him to France. I can only think that's an Amo Racing decision. I cannot understand why they went there. He wasn't disgraced in the morning, but then they run him on dirt and he just absolutely blasts around. Back on turf, I think he's going to be really, really hard to beat. I think he might be a bit special. Nothing against Stard, but I do think drawn in three, Outfielder might just get that run. And if he gets those bends, they might not catch him.
Interesting how Wesley Ward campaigns these horses. Turf, dirt, he just does whatever he wants. Before we move on, any other juveniles to talk about, Callum, or a best bet from you perhaps on the Friday?
Best bet for me, I would say Outfielder, I think, might just be a little bit underrated, and I think he could spring a bit of a shock in the last race of the evening.
What sort of price are we expecting about him?
If you could get anything bigger than fours, jump on. I think he might be a bit shorter. I think you'll probably get threes on the day, but if you could get four or bigger, I would absolutely jump on and get involved, because I do think he's a bit special. The vibes coming out after his debut were like he's the best thing since sliced bread. And I'm hoping, sticking in America, that trip to France was, I don't know, get some experience. But the two runs in the US have been highly, highly impressive. And I'm hoping that he can get the job done.
Okay, forget the morning form then, according to Callum. Sean, any more insight to add on the local horses? And who's your best fancy on the Friday?
Well, I like to hear that you're going to be putting the money on Outfielder, because I'm one spot to his inside on Street Beast here in this race. I was very impressed by his win at Kentucky Downs. And I've been impressed by Outfielder as well. I've been at both of his races here in the U.S. He definitely, it seems like one of those talents moving forward, but both of those wins have not been against Stakes Company yet. Street Beast is a little bit more proven against Stakes Company, coming off a big 7-length win at Kentucky Downs in his last start. And so we haven't seen him since. And so I think he's really sitting on a big race here.
Okay, we're warming up nicely in this Breeders' Cup preview. Stick with us for all of Saturday's action in just a moment. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup preview, Racing Post and Bloodhorse combining to give you all the insight for the spectacular in California. We're going to start off talking about the Prevagen Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint at 7:41 UK time. What chance of the Brit and Irish striking early? Arizona Blaze is in here, the Flying Five winner. He's the mount of David Egan, but he's not favourite in the market I'm looking at. Let's run through them. Metorious is 4-1, Arizona Blaze 9-2, AG Bullet 5-1, Reef Runner 9-1, along with She's Quality. She'll be a familiar name for many, as will Bucanero Fuerte at 10-1 with She's So Spicy. Carden, the old boy, the winner of the Woodford Stakes last time at 11s, and it's 12-1 bar. Where do we want to start off with this one, Sean? How fearful are you of some of these descendants on Del Mar?
Honestly, not too fearful with the group of Americans that we have here. It's interesting. So I was writing the preview, Bloodhorse's preview for this race a few days ago. I went back and looked and saw that Starless last year winning for you guys over here is a rarity to see the Europeans come over and be successful in this race. I believe it's only happened two times before. So that sounds good for
2020.
Yes, that sounds good for us out here in the U.S., and we do have a really good group of turf sprinters in the race this year. It looks like the pace is going to be really, really quick. AG Bullet always likes to be up on the lead. You have Bring the Band Home, who prefers to be up on the lead. He ran 5.5 furlongs in under a minute at Saratoga back in the summer, so that shows you how fast that he can be. She's So Spicy, I know, a 3-year-old filly taking on the older horses. She's got a lot of speed to her as well. Bear River, there's a whole bunch of speed in this race. It could set up. Now, the one European that would put some thought into my mind here is the old boy, Kadem, off, just because he's used to racing over here in the U.S. He's coming off that win in the Woodford, and his late kick, I think, should really be benefited by the fast pace that he has in front of him if those horses stop. Also, like Motorious, he was second this race last year. He always comes with his closing kick as well. So it's going to be just a matter of whether or not the pace lasts or whether one of these closers is going to be able to make their run.
Arizona Blaze, he's a good horse over 6 furlongs as well. I think he's underselling him a little bit.
Look, the records speak for themselves. The Europeans have a shocking record in this. Favourites also have a shocking record in this. Just one winning favourite in the last 10 years, Golden Pal, back in 2021 for Wesley Ward. This race is fascinating. If you like Metorious, it's pure heart attack fuel. Good luck if you're on Metorious at short prices. You will be watching it from behind your sofa the entire way. AG Bullet is, as we've heard, likes to be on the speed, but won at Kentucky Downs last time. And Kentucky Downs hasn't been the best place to have a sort of, I don't know, a trial before the Breeders' Cup. In fact, no Breeders' Cup winner has ever won previously at Kentucky Downs in the preparation. So that would be a little bit of a negative for me, but I'm sure Sean will be able to correct me, because the quality of horses, I think, has improved. For me, a horse that's not been mentioned, Reef Runner. I love this horse. I think this is a real proper horse. Disqualified on penultimate start in a shocking steward's decision. Would never have been disqualified in the UK. A little bit of interference at the start against Metorious. He beat Metorious on that day, dropped into Grade 2 company, and won really, really well. He's going to be trying to scrape the paint. He's drawn wide, which won't help, but I think he'll be coming through late. Reef Runner, for me, offers a lot of value, and I'm a fan of him in this.
Okay, I'm learning new things on this show, and I'm going to in the next race as well. At 8:21, we have the Cygames Breeders' Cup Sprint, and some unfamiliar names to me here, but Ben Tornato, 4-1, at the same price, Imagination, and Copian, who received a mention in the office earlier, so I'm curious to hear Sean's thoughts on him. Straight No Chaser at 6s, Mulligan, 10s, Dr. Veckman at 11s, and it's 12-1 bar. Sean, tell me, what do I need to know about this Breeders' Cup Sprint?
Well, the race appears like it's going to be pretty wide open here as far as who can win, but I do really think that Ben Tornato could prove to be a standout. Unfortunately, you're probably not going to get great odds on him because it looks like everybody seems to be of the same opinion. This is a horse that was second in this race last year as a three-year-old, and he was gone for most of this year. He made his first start back at Churchill Downs back in September and was lights out in that race. And it wasn't against the quality he's going to face here, but it was against some really good, hard-trying, consistent Kentucky sprinters, and they couldn't hold a candle to him. Jose D'Angelo, his trainer, he seems to always have horses ready off of a layoff like that. His second start back now off of that performance, I think he's going to step forward. I have seen him a lot personally being in Kentucky the last few weeks. He looks sensational during his training, so it's hard to look past him in this spot for sure. Another one that's probably going to draw some money is Copian. You mentioned her earlier. She's going to be taking on the boys in this race. Kind of a interesting spot for her. I like that they're taking the shot, but I don't necessarily know if this is really her best spot. She's never run 6 furlongs before. She's always been above it. 6.5 is the shortest that she's ever run. So I'm not sure how she's going to react to the shorter distance here in this race. But if she can take to that distance and overcome her inside post position, she could potentially make some noise in this race. But I think Ben Tornato for sure is going to be the standout in here.
Okay, not been much draw chat yet. Ben Tornato in 10. And then further down, Straight No Chaser last year's won it in 12. Is this a race where you think draw matters? Let's have a bit of draw chat. Which race do you think it's most impactful on?
I would say a race like the Dirt Mile is the one that's going to be super impactful, just because they're going to start pretty close to the first turn there. So if you're stuck in those outer gates, you're probably going to get stuck wide going into that first turn, losing all that precious ground. So I think that's one that's definitely it's going to matter. I don't know how much it's going to matter here in this race here going 6 furlongs. They'll have plenty of time to kind of get themselves, those outside horses, to kind of get themselves over before they enter into the far turn. So I don't think it's going to be as big of an issue here. But definitely, if you are, you know, someone like Straight No Chaser, who's drawn in the 12, you're going to want to break running. You're going to want to make sure that you're forward, because you're not going to want to get stuck going, 5-6 wide because you're stuck in the middle of the pack there. So a horse like Straight No Chaser, even Ben Tornato in the 10, they're going to have to break running.
Okay, Callum, what say you? Who did you come down on?
Well, I think we've just hit the nail on the head. Though Straight No Chaser for me. I absolutely love him here. Repeat winners, not an unlikely thing happen. We've had back-to-back winners, Roy H, 2017, 2018. We've had plenty of other good horses winning back-to-back races. Firstly, to mention, this race has been absolutely butchered by the absence of Bookham Dano. That's a whole other thing about jockeys being suspended and people aren't happy, so Bookham Dano not being here is a bit of a shame. Ben Tornato, I thought, beat Trees on that occasion. The time figure was really impressive. Ooh. But beat a bunch of absolute trees and beat them well. Coming West Coast as well, that was East Coast form. Coming West, I'm always a little bit concerned about that. Look, he ran a mighty race in this last year, finishing second, but I'm willing to take him on here. Imagination is the one that's really interesting to me. Bob Baffert obviously will love having success here at a local Breeders' Cup for him. Look, that horse dropped back in trip last time and ran really well, beating Straight No Chaser, and I think it's Dr. Veltman in that race as well. I personally like Straight No Chaser to reverse the form. He needed that run. He looked like he needed the run on that occasion. He goes much better today, so I'm hoping that he'll take a step forward. Look, he is drawn in the car park. That is a concern, but he's got plenty of early gate speed. Ben Tornado's just on his inside. He's been here, he's done it before, and he's done it in the shadows of the post. Ignore that run in Dubai. Hated every second of it. The kickback was hideous. I put a line through that. He ran a belter in Saudi just before that. He's come here basically off a break, had a nice run, now has recovered, and hopefully today will be the day. I'm really hoping that Straight No Chaser can make it 2 wins in a row in this.
Okay, I see the case for sure. At 9:01, we have the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff coming up next. Seismic Beauty leading the market 2-1 for Bob Baffert. Then we've got Darth Vader 7-2 with Nitrogen. 7 is Gin Gin, 9 Scottish Lassie, and 12-1 Bar. I'll go to you first, Sean. Is this Seismic Beauty a good thing?
Oh, yes. Yeah, she is. She's been phenomenal out here on the West Coast, especially in her last start in the Clement L. Hirsch, beating Copian, who we mentioned earlier, and Richie, who we'll see, I believe, in the Philly and Mare Sprint as well. So she's been facing good competition out here on the West Coast. This is one of those fillies that, you know, if this race was being held in Kentucky this year, if this race was being held in New York this year, I might look a little differently. But the fact that it's going to be here at her home track, and she's been so sensational in her races here in Southern California, and in a race that really doesn't have that clear standout now that Torpedo Anna has retired, I think that she's definitely going to be a big threat in this spot. But I also think Nitrogen, the three-year-old filly in here, she has been sensational no matter where she's gone, whether it been dirt, turf, doesn't matter to her. She always shows up every single race. I think she kind of needed her last race. It wasn't in her usual timing pattern, and she only lost that by a head in a good stretch battle with the older Gin Gin, her first start against older horses. And so I think now that she's kind of has her more proper scheduling of just a month between her race, I think she's going to be a real threat in here. And I also like Clico as well, for Brendan Walsh, another three-year-old filly in this race, coming off her win in the Cotillion. She really seems to be like she's that late-developing three-year-old filly. She has had no reason for you to lose any trust in her so far, and I think she takes another step forward this weekend.
Okay, Callum, what do you say to that? You were nodding your head at various points.
I think Seismic Beauty, the monster, this race has been brutally taken apart. Torpedo Anna retired. You've also lost Idiomatic as well, who was a very good older dirt mare. Mm-hmm. She got injured. She's gone to stud as well. So it's opened up. Seismic Beauty, for me personally, I think she's a monster. I think she really is. I'll give you one at a big price though. Gutsy As. It's Dry Powder. You won't have heard much about her. She's always there or thereabouts. She gave Clico an absolute fright over in Pennsylvania last time out. She just keeps plugging on. Whether she's good enough to kind of have a winning chance here, I don't know. But I think she offers a lot of value at a much bigger price. Gin Gin, tough as nails. We don't really, apart from her being tough, there's not really much to go by with her. Darth Vader is as inconsistent as I am on a night out, just doesn't know whether she's coming or going. And Nitrogen, I thought, was a bit soft when she was beaten by Darth Vader, but I think, Gin Gin. But I think that Sean's made a really good point there about things just not going to plan for her. But she did look a little bit like she didn't want to. But I famously said that about Ombudsman when he ran at Sandown on a seasonal reappearance. So I looked silly then. I could look silly again. I thought, oh, he spat the dummy out, doesn't want it. But apparently he's quite a good horse. So I got that one wrong.
Well, we might just see some very, very good horses in the Longines Breeders' Cup Turf. We might see history as well, with Rebel's Romance going for a third win in the race. It's never been done before, but he's going to face arguably his toughest opponent for some time, and that's Minnie Hawk, the ARC runner-up. She currently dominates the market for Aidan O'Brien and Christoph Sunion at the 10-11 price, followed by Rebel's Romance 11-4. 8 is Goliath, the French Raider, for Francis Graffard. 12, Amalok, Ethical Diamond 16s, along with Wimbledon Hawkeye, Salawi 20-1, a grade one winner in the Canadian International last time. 25's Bar, we're speaking my language now. Yeah. More with the turf horses, the European horses indeed. Some wonderful form to go through here. Let's start with Minnie Hawk. She is the obvious starting place. How surprised were you that Aidan O'Brien said she was going to be making up his Breeders' Cup team?
Not surprised at all. Not surprised. Immediately after she got defeated in the ARC, I thought, they've done this before, and this has got found written all over it. Defeated in the ARC, arguably more heavier defeated in the ARC, then went to Ascot Champions Day, and then came here and won.
She was tough, wasn't she?
She was tough as nails, and I would argue that Minnie Hawk, as a three-year-old, because I know people start shouting at their screens now, as a three-year-old, Minnie Hawk is a better horse than Found. I can say that now. Mm-hmm. Now, Found obviously went on to do all the things she did, but as a three-year-old, I think Minnie Hawk is a better horse than Found, and that is why, for me, she's going to be the pick. I just think she might be too good for this lot. I saw El Cordebus would probably the each way play here. Shaped well behind Rebel's Romance last time and given a shocker of a ride. I mean, he was given so much to do, it's ridiculous. I think he'll get a much better spin today. So I'll be more inclined on him. Isn't it wonderful to see Ethical Diamond in there? Let's
yes.
do the Ebor Breeders Cup double. We love that. That's great fun. And Wimbledon Hawkeye showed a lovely turn of foot last time when winning at over in the States in good style. But how good was that race? We just don't really know. Goliath is the one that I keep coming back to. If there's one, I keep on thinking there's a plan here. The ownership obviously suggests they want to run in America. Mm. This has always been the plan. It's just coming back into form now. Has that winning form on firm ground too. Plenty to like about this recent performance as well. Look, with it, he kind of scrambled past the by honour, but really, like, it was just to get him to today. So I'm hoping that he can run a nice enough race, but I'm going to have to go with Mini Hawk here. I'm not really a fan of Rebel's Romance in this race. I think things sort of fell his way last year. He got a lovely, just confident ride. Mm. It's going to be harder from a wide draw on this occasion. So Mini Hawk would be the pick.
He always seems to be underestimated, doesn't he, Rebel's Romance? 9 group or grade ones, an exceptional athlete. And Callum's underestimating him again, it seems. plenty of people out there won't want to be making that mistake, but he's just been majestic to follow for the last couple of seasons. And maybe he'll enjoy another day in the sun. Tactically, he's pretty sound. He can sit wherever he wants. Mini Hawk, do you think she has enough tactical pace? I know at Chester she was under the pump from quite a way out. I know that was a long time ago though.
But look what she found when under the pump. That's the thing. True. I don't think she's a travelly type. I don't think she's a strong traveller. I think she's just going to keep responding to pressure.
Does that not concern you at
pressure.
This track?
The tightness of it all, but I mean, is Rebel's Romance the strongest of travellers? You watch him when he actually runs in Group 1 company, when he rocks up at a King George every year. He's flat to the boards pretty quickly. He's not cantering into his races. I mean, Calandagan made him look like a donkey. I mean, I think we get very sort of hung up on the fact that Rebel's Romance keeps doing it, but I would argue we should really congratulate Charlie Appleby for putting him in Group 1s that he can win. Mm. I think we've got to be... again, sorry, don't hate me, but I think we're going to end up in a situation where he's won a lot of really nice Group 1s. He's very much like Al Riffer. I put him in the same category as Al Riffer. Ooh, you go overseas, you win nice Group 1s, but you come and actually challenge yourself in proper European hardcore turf Group 1s. He gets found out a little bit. I'm hoping that Mini Hawk can do what Found did a few years ago and kind of take that step from a defeat in the Arc and go one place, a few places better.
I do think this is a deeper race than the classic, the turfs that Rebel's Romance has been running in. Goliath, I wanted to mention, I'm not sure as much as connections want him to be a Globetrotter. I think he might be better at home in France. We saw him go to the Japan Cup. We saw him go to Sha Tin as well for the QE2 over there.
That Japan Cup was very strange. They crawled along. It turned into a sprint. Look, Dujuicy won with Monster, absolute quality horse, but when you actually look back at it, it didn't work for Goliath at all. He'll get that stronger pace here, which should suit him. But again, is he the same horse as last season? I don't really know. And he's done nothing to prove that he is any better so far. But he does come into this on the back of a win. He's clearly going the right way. Connections have always wanted to come here. And I think that's a big positive.
Yeah, off the rest, we should just briefly touch on them. Amalok, I'm a bit concerned about the fast ground because they noted that after Ascot, albeit he won, and they're coming back to quick ground here. Ethical Diamond, is he going to be classy enough to compete in this level? Wimbledon Hawkeye, the same. I quite like you on El Cordobez. Was it the Sword Dancer he won? And he looked very, very good there when beating Nation's Pride. I think he could be a bit of value in here.
I think he's a value player in the race. I really do. I think he'll get a much better ride than he did last time. He was given so, so much to do. And on this occasion, I hope that he can just put his best foot forward, be ridden a bit closer to the pace. And I imagine he'll be coming home late and sort of picking his way through runners. And I think of an each way play in this race, he's certainly the one that I would be very drawn to.
I like him as well. Sean, what's the noise on the ground? What are you hearing about all these horses flying in? Who settled in well? Who hasn't?
Well, Rebel's Romance and Mini Hawk both looked like they settled in pretty well when I saw them this morning on the racetrack. So that's good news for them. Definitely over here in the U.S., we've kind of adopted Rebel's Romance as one of our own, considering this seems to be a race that we don't win very often. So we'll gladly take him as being our flag bearer here as well. But he looked great on the track this morning. He was full of energy. He actually ended up, when he was getting pulled up, he ended up dropping his exercise rider because he was just feeling good, but Ryder got right back on. No foul there, no problem there. So, but that's, to me, that's a good sign that he's feeling good. He's liking the cool air out here. It's going to be tough for the American hopefuls in this race, that's for sure. we have a couple nice horses in, you know, in Rebel Red and Tawny Port and Hill Road, but those are kind of more in races not of this caliber. They've been filling those exacta and trifecta plays more often than winning. So facing against this kind of caliber field, I think it's kind of a long shot for any of them. If there was going to be one of the American-based horses that pulled the upset, I'd be looking toward Gold Phoenix, trained by Phil D'Amato. He's 5-for-9 here at Del Mar. He really likes this course. He's a veteran of running in this race specifically. He was 4th 2 years ago. He was, I believe, 4th again last year as well. So he's one that always shows up when the races are here at, in Southern California. And so if he can get that breakthrough, get the right trip, and maybe, you know, Mini Hawk doesn't come over for best, Rebel's Romance is off his game, I think he's probably the American-based horse is the best shot to try to pick it up.
Okay, it's going to be a spectacular running of the turf. We're going to skip over the classic and leave you wanting more just for now. We'll go to the 11:05. It is the FanDuel Breeders' Cup Mile and a familiar face in here in Notable Speech. He's so unlucky in this race last year. He heads the market at 2-1. I quite fancy the second favourite, though, Sarlan at 11-2, along with the Lion in Winter. What an interesting horse he's been this season. 15-2, Formidable Man. 8-1, Johannes. 10's Programme Trading and Rhetorical. 14's Yonquil. 16's the Sussex Stake winner, Kirat, followed by 20-1, Arjin, the Japanese Raider, and the rest at bigger prices. Can he gain redemption for last year's defeat after victory in the Woodbine Mile last time, Sean, Notable Speech? What do you think?
Well, if he runs the way he did in the Woodbine Mile, he's definitely got every shot to do so. He's probably going to be coming in here as the main hype horse, especially since he's already had his one start over here in North America before coming over. As you mentioned, a very unlucky trip last time when he was here at Del Mar. Another horse that was part of that finish with him was Johannes, who we all here in the U.S. kind of consider as one of, if not the best miler in the country. And he was off for several months. He did not run well when he shipped all the way across the country for his first start back. But he bounced back in his last race, the City of Hope Mile at Santa Anita, and he won that looking like his old self. I forget what you said his odds were over for you guys, but he's 8-1 on our morning line, which yeah. I think is a little high for him. So I find that a little surprising that he's that high. I don't know if he'll stay there, but if he does stay that high, I think that would be a great price on him, especially now that he's getting back to Del Mar where he's been. I mean, he almost won the Eclipse Award for our champion turf horse last year. Had he ended up winning the race in the mile, he probably would have beat out Rebel's Romance for that here in the U.S. That's how good a year that he had last year. I also am a big fan of Rhetorical for William Walden coming out of the Turf Mile at Keeneland. This is a New York bred horse that just keeps getting better and better. And what I really like about this horse is that they knew they had a good horse early and they didn't force him into the top competition yet. They let him develop. They let him kind of grow. And we saw the outcome of that in at Keeneland in the Turf Mile. There was how sensational that he ran, stalking the pace and making that run at the top of the stretch. And so I think that he seems like he's going to maybe potentially take over in this division going forward in the U.S. And if he can ship all the way out here to California and do the exact same thing, then we're looking at a real superstar here.
There was a gasp of despair from Callum next to me when you mentioned Rhetorical. But before we do, just a little bit more on Notable Speech. Unlucky not to win the Prix Jacques Lamawa won by Diego Velasquez. They tried him over 6 furlongs. They think he's a quick horse. July Cup didn't work out. Do you think this is his all or nothing race? Do you think he needs to win this now? Because he's got a 2,000 guineas on his record. He's got a Sussex Stakes on his record last year. He needs that big victory as a 4-year-old.
I don't think he wins it.
You don't like it?
Plain and simple, I don't like it. I didn't think that run at Woodbine was good. He missed the break. He was racing against lower quality opposition and he did what he usually did. He showed his late turn of foot and came through and won. But I think if you actually break the race down and look at how he went through it, I would be looking elsewhere with him. Sean, I'm just so happy that he's mentioned to all. I think Johannes is a monster. It's his last run before he goes to stud here, which I'm not always a massive fan of.
Why not?
I just... I kind of like it to be like, oh, maybe there's another race in them. I don't like to, it, we know this is going to be the last. Is that a positive, or is that like, we know we're okay. turning over the wrong way? So especially with, more with fillies than with colts, but especially with fillies, I get very panicky when I hear this is the last run before she goes off to stud. But Johannes will be off to, I think he's off to Claiborne, if I remember that correctly. But I think this horse is a freak, an absolute freak of nature. Ran a stormer in this race last year, finishing ahead of Notable Speech. Shipped out east, clearly doesn't like the weather out there, ran awful, came back, looked imperious last time out. He just canters all over his rivals. He's one of the strongest travellers that I've ever seen in a US race, and I'm hugely excited to see what he can do on his final run on the turf, and his final run in the USA. And then Rhetorical, the other horse that was mentioned, the beast from the east, just fascinating to see how he goes, absolutely slapped Diego Velasquez, which that form lines up with Notable Speech. I mean, he battered him. He was a different level of horse altogether. That was in the Coolmore Turf Mile. That was at Keeneland, not to be confused with Kentucky Downs, which I know some people can get those two confused. Keeneland, a much more what we would call stereotypical US course. He did it really, really well. If he can ship out west and do well again in the west, he could be a massively, massively dangerous horse here. But Johannes, for me, that's going to be my pick. I would be laying the top horse here, Notable Speech. And I think the line in winter, such a free sweater, this all might get a bit too much for him. So I would be happy to miss the line in winter. Remember at York when he started his season, he got absolutely turned himself inside out. So I'd be concerned that he might do that again here in the US.
I like the Prix de Moulin winner, Salan.
Ooh, yeah,
I think improver. Francis Graffard, yeah, he knows what he's got. And I thought it was interesting to me that straight after that race, he went, Breeders' Cup, you know, I quite fancy that with him.
And what a season the yard has had already.
Exactly.
I mean, everything they touch turns to gold. So I can completely understand where you're going with Salan.
I think this horse is peaking at the right time.
Yeah, I think the favourite's probably going to be a bit too short. People get stuck in. I think there's plenty of value in behind. It's going to be a fascinating race. It really will be.
Yeah, absolutely. Salan, I just think he's going to be peaking at the exact right time. Don't think we've seen the best of him yet. It was an excellent performance last time. I know it got slightly overtaken by people who have been on Resalian, and yes, he was unlucky, but I think Salan's shaping up to be a real top notcher. Let's go onwards to the 11:45, the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile now. Nisos, the 6-4 favourite here, followed by 4-1 Full Serrano, 8 Citizen Bull, Gold orientated in the same colours. Then a former Kentucky Derby winner, Mystic Dan, at the same price with White Abario, and Tumbarumba at 12-1. A few more in there at bigger prices. Sean, we got some big names in here. A Nisos, though, for Bob Baffert, another one with leading claims.
Yes, he definitely has the leading claims. He's one of those horses that we have always expected to see greatness out of him, but for health reasons and all sorts of things like that, we just haven't gotten it yet. He was so promising as a 2-year-old turning 3. He was the leading contender for the Kentucky Derby before he got injured and ended up having to miss the last 10 months of his 3-year-old season. And when he came back this year, he ran very good second to Mind Frame, but his last two starts have been against competition that really hasn't been up to the same level that he's facing here. And now they have been in Southern California, which is good. This is his home track, so he does have that. He's one that I personally have never really been on the hype train for. So at these low odds, I'm definitely going to be trying to beat him in this spot for sure. Mystic Dan, the Kentucky Derby winner last year, I've been watching him at Churchill for pretty much almost every day for the last 2 years, but he looks like he is probably in his best form that he's ever been in right now. And coming out of his Lucas Classic win, the mile is a question mark for him. It's been a long, long time since he ran that distance, since way back earlier in his career. But I do like the fact that it's a 2-turn mile. I think that would be helpful for him. And even though he doesn't have his normal rider, Brian Hernandez Jr., who's out injured, Francisco Arrieta has run him very well in his 2 starts that he's been aboard him. So I do think that he's going to be a potential threat inside of here. Tumbarumba is one that I really like as well. This horse just always shows up. He always fights. And that led to a lot of seconds, a lot of thirds and fourths over the course of the last couple months. But his last 2 races, he's really gotten that win, that drive to win back. And speaking with his trainer, Brian Lynch, it seems like they've kind of seen that that fire in his eye come back in his last two starts, and it seems to still be here out at Del Mar. He looked good on the track this morning, so I think that he's going to potentially be a threat here. But Baffert's got a couple other nice ones in here. You mentioned Citizen Bull as well, who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year. He obviously loves this racetrack. He's 3-for-4 at this racetrack, and I think the mile distance should suit him pretty well. I've been questioning throughout the year his wins, the competition that he's been up against, but I actually kind of like him a little bit better in this spot than Nisos.
Okay, so taking on the strong market leader there, White Barrio, another Breeders' Cup winner we've not even mentioned yet. Who did you come down on, Callum?
Favourites have won 4 of the last 5 of this one, so I really like Nisos. I think the boy's a monster. I think he's an absolute freak of nature. The only defeat he had came on the slop at Churchill going away from home. He was beaten by basically a head. It was a dead heat for second. It was a mental race. He had a horse like Bookham Dano in behind him, would have been the favourite for the sprint. So there's plenty to like about him. So he would be my pick. I really like goal-oriented?
Have you created a
oriented.
Word?
Oriented.
There you go. Goal-oriented. There you go. That's a word, apparently. And I'm going for it. That's going to be the pick that if you're looking for one at a bigger price. Look, he was bumping into journalism in the Preakness and the Haskell. If you remember the Preakness, how mental that race was. He was a horse that caused all the interference on that day. Ran last time at Pennsylvania and shaped like a horse who was crying out to drop back in trip. Really will get that drop back on this occasion. And I like him here. I think he's got a nice chance. I can't have Mystic Dan not on the West Coast. He's an East Coast boy, loves running at Churchill. I can't have him out here. White Abario is only here because he's not good enough to run in the Classic. I think there are horses with more upwards trajectory than White Abario, who, look, if he were running again out, no, he actually likes running out west, but I would say, like, just he's just not one for me in this type of race. His form has started to trail back now. But look, if he's on his best, he wipes the floor with this lot, but he might just not be at his best anymore. So I think Nisos wins. You want an each way play in the race. Goal oriented. There you go. There it is. I'll get there in the end.
If they win, it might not matter how you pronounce it. At 12:25, we have the Maker's Mark Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. What chance of a British winner in this? Well, they don't lead the market just at the moment, not with the firm that I'm currently looking at anyway. The EP Taylor winner, She Feels Pretty, beat Diamond Rain last time. She leads the market at 7-2. See the Fire, we know her well. Impressive in the Middleton Stakes earlier on this season at 4s. Cinderella's Dream, the Falmouth winner, 9-2. Same price, Gazora, another one for Francis Graffard, followed by Diamond Rain 13-2, Bedtime Story 12s 14-1 bar that. How do we assess this race, Callum? I thought this was one of the trickier ones of the evening, if I'm honest.
She's the worst favourite on the entire weekend, She Feels Pretty. I cannot, for the life of me, understand why she's top of the market. She scrambled home to be the horse that she beat last time out, the other Godolphin horse.
Diamond Rain.
I mean, she was scrambling home to beat Diamond Rain. See the Fire's got far better form all the way through. I mean, look, She Feels Pretty wins grade ones, but they're fillies only grade ones on the turf in the US. Let's not get overexcited about that too much. I think Cinderella's Dream, who got a stinker of a ride last time from William Buick, not last time, last year, in this race last year. They rode her to get the trip. My goodness, she got the trip. She flew home down the fence, having been given far too much of a patient ride. If she gets a much more confident ride on this occasion, I think she's going to be really, really hard to beat. I know there's been a lot of talk about Bedtime Story, the horse who could potentially come from well off the speed and come through. But if you like her, you've got to like Gisora, who's beaten her twice. Then Stella Fire knows a key hope from the US. Will be front running. I'm a little bit concerned about just her going hard in front. I think she's just a stayer rather than she's not got that class or tactical speed that I'd want here. So Cinderella's Dream would be the pick to be. I couldn't run further from She Feels Pretty. I think she gets beat. I just run away from She Feels Pretty. She won't look pretty on Saturday night.
Sean, defend your filly.
I know, I'm feeling a little hurt right here, hearing those words about her. But, you know, she's been one of the most consistent horses that we've had in the U.S. over the last few years. 12 starts, she's never been out of the money. She's always been in the top three. Now, to be fair to some of the points you're making, you know, she is stuck wide here in 13. We mentioned earlier, you don't really want to be on top of a turn in some of these races when you're out wide. And this three-turn race, she's going to be experiencing that in this spot. So
hey,
she could potentially...
one even wider.
Yeah, she won even wider for her. But she feels Pretty's going to be out there on the first turn, so she's going to need to save some ground. And she's stretching out further than she's ever been before, to the mile and 3/8 here. And looking back at her past performances here, you can kind of see where her mile and a quarter, her mile and a 3/16 races, even though she's won, they've been the ones where she's maybe looked the most vulnerable. So adding the next, that extra bit of distance to her could lead to an upset. So I'm actually, as much as I love her, I don't know if I'm going to disagree with you as far as saying that she's going to get beat here in this spot. One that I really like is Stellify, who you mentioned there. She's one of these horses that's up and coming. Now, the question I have with her is the distance might be too short for her in this kind of competition. I think she's one that benefits the longer they go. And she has won at this distance before, but definitely not against this competition. But her last couple of races have just been sensational. That mile and 3/8 race that she won back at Churchill Downs, she set the track record. Her next race at Kentucky Downs, she set the track record. And then she came back on, I believe it was 8 days rest. It was like 8 or 10 days rest that she came back, and she won again against Stakes Company. Now she's got 2 months to freshen up for this race. She's one that goes to the lead, and then once she gets there, she just keeps going. She doesn't stop. You don't get close to her. I see her at 30-1 on our morning line out here in the U.S., and I love every bit of that. She's one that I came into the weekend really, really hopeful for, and I hope that the price stays up around that part for me, because I'll be making a lot of money off of her if that's the case. But yeah, I think she's kind of one of those sleeper picks in this field that might be getting a little overlooked.
You wanted to jump in there, go ahead.
Can I just add one point again with favourites? This is just burying She Feels Pretty here. Favourites, terrible record in this race. One winner from the last 10 years. Favourites get turned over in this regularly. So again, it's another reason to stay away from She Feels Pretty.
Well, folks, we've saved the best until last. 10:25, it's the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic. Unfortunately, one of the big talking points of today has been that Sovereignty has been ruled out by Bill Mott. The exceptional 3-year-old colt will not take his place. Bit of a fever a couple of days ago, and he won't be right enough to take part in the race. Sean, I want to go to you first on that. I mean, this race revolved around him. He was a true champion. Some say he could have been a Triple Crown winner if he wouldn't have forfeited the Preakness Stakes, but he's clearly exceptional in his generation, perhaps even beyond. Will we get a chance to see him again, do you think? And how much is this field going to miss him?
Oh, this field's going to miss him a lot. This race was being advertised over here as potentially the best field that we have seen in any race this entire century here in the United States. And to lose, I mean, obviously it's still a good field without him, but to lose the favorite in that kind of field definitely takes a big blow. He'd done nothing wrong this entire year. He'd been so dominant throughout the year against top-notch horses like Journalism, like Baeza, who are still going to be in this field. And we were going to get to see him against older horses for the first time. So it's real unfortunate that he was not able to run. We're hopeful that he's going to come back. There was some discussion earlier in the year that we felt like that he was going to come back for a 4-year-old campaign. You know, the Godolphin connections, I'm sure Sheikh Mohammed would love to see him out in Dubai to win the Dubai World Cup in the spring. So hopefully that will help sway him to a 4-year-old season. But who knows, maybe something like this, you know, that now that he, his perfect bill of health that he's had throughout the year, now that it's kind of hit a stopping point. I know it's just a fever, but hopefully nothing else will come out from that. Maybe that makes them decide to go to the breeding shed from here. But it was definitely a big loss. We're lucky that we still have as good a field as we do. But I know everybody here in the U.S. was really looking forward to getting to see Sovereignty on this stage.
We were here as well. Just such an imposing horse, so taken with him in the mornings. But hey, still a fantastic field. We've got Fierceness and Sierra Leone. They're sparring at the top of the market. Fierceness with Betfair 5-2, the market leader at the moment, followed by Sierra Leone, last year's winner, of course, at 3-1. Forever Young, the Japanese contender, 9-2. Mindframe, 11-2. Journalism, who we mentioned, 7-1. Baeza, 10s. Antiquarian, 16s. Nevada Beach, the same price. Contrary Thinking, the front runner, the pacemaker. For Sierra Leone, 100-1. It's a different race now, Callum, without Sovereignty in it. How do you think this is going to play out tactically? I didn't think there was necessarily going to be that much pace.
I think there'll be enough pace in there now with the pacemaker. I think it will suit everybody apart from maybe Fierceness, who, well, connections with Mike Ripoli has already said he's not happy that they're the pacemaker there. I think it will just mean there are less hard luck stories. Forever Young in this race last year was physically assaulted at the start of the race, then got bumped around the turn and did really well to finish where he did in the end. I'd argue that if we've got a pacemaker in there, can stretch the field out a little bit.
I just don't know if he's going to be good enough and if they're going to want him to go blazing off, or could he get ignored? We've seen that in the UK this season.
I mean, he's been beaten by a combined 130 lengths or something in his last two starts. Like, he's not good enough to win this. I think when we compare him to like the Burr Castle and other horses, they had form.
No. Yeah. But I mean, is he still going to be able to go fast enough, early enough?
Oh yeah, I think so. He did it last time out, and I think it's the Jockey Club Cup. Correct me if I'm wrong, though, Sean. But he did it. He led the field on that occasion. Now again, on that occasion, there was a lot of bumping, Mindframe unseated, so a lot was going on behind him. But he was able to make the running on that occasion. So I don't think that'll be too much. I think, before I forget his name, Nevada Beach is a huge player here at a massive price. If you're looking for the major value, has done very little wrong this season. Comes here having beaten Full Serrano, who you mentioned is second favourite for the Dirt Mile. He absolutely thumped him. He's still very unexposed. Bob Baffert's already won 4 classics. He could make it 5. I think he's a danger in this race. I think Sierra Leone, though, will be the pick for me. I just hope they get it right with him. You watch him win the race last year. He was right at the front of the field as they turned into the straight, which is something we never see him do. On his recent starts, he's been given far too much to do. I'm hoping that Connections can get this pacemaker to stretch them out, and he's just given a bit more of a positive ride. Whether he'll be able to do it, I don't know. Especially without Sovereignty, I'd be very keen to get stuck into Sierra Leone to go back-to-back, although we've not seen a horse go back-to-back since Tis Now. So
you read my mind. There I was going to say that.
We're all the same
many
page,
many good horses have tried, and none of them, apart from Tis Now, has succeeded. I wonder whether, Sean, Sierra Leone's just a little bit one-dimensional. Callum mentioned it there, that he likes to sit back, comes from off the pace. OK, he managed it last year, but I think the setup might be different this time around. What do you think?
Yeah, he definitely is one-dimensional. There's no secret to that. He needs to just be able to make that one late run. Now, the good thing with him is he makes it no matter what. Whether it's a fast pace, whether it's a slow pace, but there can be the difference about whether or not he actually gets there for the win. His pacemaker here definitely helps, Contrary Thinking, but I don't know how much of a help it's really going to be, because he's kind of that horse that he's going to gun for the lead, and there's not really any other horses that need the lead. I know Fierceness usually likes to be forward, but everybody knows that Contrary Thinking is there. So if you are aboard Fierceness, John Velazquez, you're going to let that pacemaker just kind of go, and you're going to expect he's going to hit the wall at some point and drop back. And Contrary Thinking is a horse that, before he got tossed in to be the pacemaker the last couple of races, was only running, 6 furlongs a mile. So he wasn't running these distances. So they're not going to be afraid that he's going to run off, and if nobody goes with him, that he's going to, just end up winning the thing, going wire to wire. He's going to fade at some point. So if I'm Fierceness, if I'm anybody else that's sitting forward, I'm just letting him go. And then at that point, how helpful is that really to Sierra Leone? Because the rest of the field's not going as fast, even though the half mile might be 45 seconds. But if the horse that's in second's going 47 seconds, then that's not really going to be much of a help for Sierra Leone. So I think in this spot, you need to be one of those horses that's sitting in like that second through fifth range, the ones that can make that first run, and then hope the late run from Sierra Leone is going to not be strong enough and be able to hold him off. So I do really like Fierceness in this spot. We were a little concerned about the fact that he drew the rail, because the last time he had the rail here at Del Mar, Fierceness in the Pacific Classic, he did not react well to seeing the temporary rail on his inside.
He tried to jump.
Yeah, he jumped, but you know, but in his defense, he's usually the kind of horse that when something like that happens, some kind of adversity happens throughout the race, he's usually one that just packs it in and calls it quits. But he stayed on last time, and he came back. So maybe he's just mentally finally starting to figure it out, which could be scary for the competition if that's the case. Because I think natural talent, he's probably the one that has the most of it in this field. It's just whether or not he's able to put it all together. I've always been a big fan of journalism. My question with journalism and with Baeza, and actually a question that I had for Sovereignty before he scratched, was we've been talking all year about how great this three-year-old crop has been, but when journalism ran against Fierceness, he lost. This past weekend at Keeneland, we saw Gosger, who was second in the Preakness in the Haskell, and Bracket Buster, who was second in the Travers. They faced older horses, and they got beat in that race, in a race that we kind of all went into thinking that they were the two best horses. So the three-year-old so far, when they have faced the older horses, they have not stood up to them. I do think journalism is one of the top horses in this country. He's going to be in my plays for sure. But there's a little question mark to these three-year-old horses as far as where they stand with the older horses. And I also have a big question mark right now on Mindframe. If you asked me in August who was the best older horse in the country, I would have said Mindframe, but I don't know what to think now after he got the rider knocked off of him in his last race. I don't know where he would be at mentally. He looks good out here at Del Mar. He looked good this morning, but that definitely was not the final prep race that you wanted to see going into it. He essentially hasn't run a race in, you know, I guess probably 5 months now, 4 or 5 months, because he didn't really get much of a chance to run in that last one. So it's a matter of how good he'll be kind of off that layoff.
Yes, Fierceness for me, I struggle to trust him. I think he's been disappointing when people have expected him to deliver in the past. We mentioned a couple of his quirks there as well. As a market leader, I just don't really want to be backing him at that sort of price.
Coming out of gate one, I know we've mentioned that he'll hopefully get over it, but it feels like we're doing the same thing we did for the Pacific Classic, and that would be a concern for me.
Yeah, as Sean mentioned, Mindframe, I think I just about came on top for him because I think he's going to sit in the right place. I think he's going to be just behind those leaders. He has the form in the book. He beat Sierra Leone in the Stephen Foster earlier on this season. I think he's probably going to be peaking at the right time, albeit he's not got that prep that some would have wanted, but that wasn't his fault that he lost his rider last time. So at the prices, he was the one I was looking more towards. Journalism, what a fantastic horse he's been. Again, I worry that he could get too far back and come too late. We've not even mentioned Forever Young, the Saudi Cup winner. Do you think we need to give him a good chance?
He needs to get a good mention. Unlucky in this race last year, has then went to Maidan and ran in the World Cup, which is turning into more and more of a weird race with each passing year. I think he did really well to come third in that because he looked flat to the boards a long way from home. He comes here, the connections know what they're doing. I particularly like him in this sort of race. I think he's going to run better than last year. If no one else takes a step forward, and he does, he's going to win. I do think he's going to get a much better run of things on this occasion. Is he going to be good enough? Then if he does get the run of things, I think he will be. Personally, though, I'll be sticking with Sierra Leone, hoping to do it his now and repeat.
I think that might be a big ask, but I could be wrong. He comes from a formidable combination. Sean, now your colours to the mast. Who is it for the Classic?
Ooh, I had to pick. I'm probably going to end up on Fierceness here with the scratch of Sovereignty. Sovereignty would have been my pick, but I'm probably going to end up with Fierceness here. I just think he's finally starting to figure it out, and I just think that he's got the most talent, and I think he's also going to be in that perfect spot where he's going to be behind as that pacemaker just goes for it. Fierceness is going to be kind of sitting back getting first run when they go after him. So as long as he doesn't get too caught up in chasing the pacemaker, the horse himself, I think that he'll be the one to be in here for sure. But I did also want to mention, I know you mentioned it earlier, kind of your long shot play, Nevada Beach. Mm. Nevada Beach looks like one of these horses that he's getting a lot of comparisons to Arrogate a few years ago.
Wow.
Not necessarily talent-wise, but just timing-wise, of this late-developing Bob Baffert three-year-old that could potentially step up. I did mention that we were kind of not sure where the three-year-olds stack up yet, but he is one that did beat older horses in his last race in the Goodwood. We haven't really seen the best of him. He's just kind of getting started, so I do like him as a long shot, but I think Fierceness is the pick for me.
Well, it's going to be an exceptional night of sporting action. Can't wait to tune in. That is all of the Breeders' Cup races wrapped up. All that's left to find out now is those all-important best bets. Callum, I'll go to you first. You get first pick. Who is the horse you most want to keep on side at the Breeders' Cup this year?
The horse I most want to keep on side. It's a tough one. It really is. I do think Johannes is a freak. So I think it's going to be Johannes in the mile for me is going to be the pick.
Okay, not going with one of our horses.
Not going home. I'm going away from home. And if you don't like it, you can do it anyway.
Okay, Sean, what's your best bet of the evening? Tell us why.
I think I'm definitely going to pick Stellify for this one in the filly and mare turf. All the things I mentioned earlier, I think she's just a horse that's continuing to develop. I think her speed is just going to put her in the lead and in a position where they're going to have to come catch her, and I don't know if they can. So Stellify is my best bet. Hopefully she stays at those big odds.
Okay, plenty of big prices to get stuck into across the evening. I am sure Stellify certainly fits into that box. Thank you so much for joining us for this special Breeders' Cup preview show with Blood Horse. Let us know who your best fancies are down in the comments if you agree with the lads or not. And stay tuned to the Racing Post for all the latest news and views ahead of the American Extravaganza. We'll see you next time.